Seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is in the house. Yeah. Boy, do we need Jesus more than ever right now. You know, what a week. What a week. There has been so much that has taken place. So much. The Cyber Symposium, right? We've seen everything on the election. We've got more and more of COVID. Now COVID's Delta. What's it going to be? What's it going to go on to next? Going to go on and on and on. They're going to keep coming up with variants. They're going to keep doing what they're doing. But there's so much that is going on. So much that we know about, but so much we do not. You just can't keep up with everything that's going on in our government right now. But see, that's why I watch what I listen to. I do not turn on. I can't tell you the last time I have had regular news network on and watch any news. I don't. I don't watch it. Because when you watch it, you're left with no hope of a future. So, like I say, I'm careful what I listen to. And still, that leaves me calling out to God and saying what the psalmist says in Psalm 94. That was close in the Psalms. But we're at Psalm 94, verses 1 through 3. And this is probably what you've said too. O Lord, the God of vengeance, O God of vengeance, let your glorious justice shine forth. Arise, O judge of the earth. Give the proud what they deserve. How long, O Lord? How long will the wicked be allowed to gloat? How long are you going to stand for this, Lord? How much more can you take? Because I'm about up to here. But see, He'll keep you up. It can be up to there, but He's going to keep you above it. And in time, He's just going to keep pulling you up, up, and up till you're completely out of it. But the psalmist here, he is calling out for divine vengeance. But he does, and we as well, recognize that God decides when to exercise His wrath and judgment. It's not up to us. God's law clearly states vengeance belongs to Him. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 35, the Lord is speaking, vengeance is mine and retribution. In due time, their foot will slip, for the day of their disaster is at hand, and their doom hurries to meet them. But like he says, vengeance is mine and retribution. How long will the wicked be allowed to gloat? The answer, of course, is in God's mercy. It may be that all the wickedness has not been completely exposed. Now, you were talking about Nebuchadnezzar here. Okay. And you said God gave him ample time to repent. Do you know that the Amorites were given ample time to repent of their sins? Because it says in Genesis 15, verse 16, says, but in the fourth generation, this is God talking to Abram at the time. He was not Abraham yet. But for your clarification, He was talking to Abraham. And He said, in your fourth generation, they shall return here. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. It was not yet complete. This prophecy was literally fulfilled. Moses, who led the Israelites back to Canaan after their 400 years in Egypt, was in the fourth generation. They were the most important and powerful group of that region. The name Amorite later became virtually synonymous with that of the inhabitants of Canaan. God gave them plenty of time to repent. 400 years. I don't think we're going to have to wait that long. No, I don't think so. I know what I've listened to some of the prophets saying, and I believe the prophets. I believe the prophets, folks. The Lord may delay His judgment, but in His perfect timing, He will come to establish true justice. See, it's not always easy to wait for the timing of God, but always necessary. Sometimes we won't know the reason for His timing, but we must wait. And we must wait patiently and trust that He does things very well. So we have to wait patiently. And Psalm 27 tells us, wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. To wait patiently on the Lord is to demonstrate confident expectation. Expectation of a good outcome no matter what comes our way. The Hebrew word for wait may also be translated as hope. To hope in God is to wait for His timing and His action. Received this from my brother from another mother the other day. I'm going to use bits and pieces of it, so if you get something from him, you'll recognize this. Faith is a shield of certain victory. True faith is never in a hurry. It knows how to wait. It trusts wholly in God and in His wisdom. And this is where I interject. Well, I should say, the Holy Ghost. Proverbs 4:7. Getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. And whatever else you do, develop good judgment. With godly wisdom, you will definitely develop good judgment. And wisdom is very easy to get. Really, Pastor? Yeah. What's James tell us? If any of you lacks wisdom, you go to the one who has all the wisdom. The one who knows everything. You should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Is it that easy? Yeah. You'll go to Him and He'll give it to you. But you have to ask. And take the cotton out so you can hear Him clearly. Okay, continue. Many trust in His power and might, but few wait to trust in His wisdom. He has a time and a plan that is beyond us, a reason for every delay. In Isaiah 55, verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Not Pastor Jack, but the Lord. Makashaba. M-A-C-H-A-S-H-A-B-A-H. Makashaba in the Hebrew is translated thought. But also, it is translated as plan. For my plans are not your plans. His plans are beyond our thinking. His ways are not our ways. That is, His manner of doing something. You ever notice, find yourself saying, I'd have never did it that way. It's because it wasn't God's way. Verse 9 says, though, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts or plans than your thoughts and plans. We need to trust in His power and His wisdom, and we will never stumble or be disappointed. So wait patiently, fully convinced that He is in control. His answers never come too late. So don't worry. Be happy. Hey, when Paul and Silas were in prison, in the inner dungeon, nasty place to be, cold, miserable, damp, with chains on them, and their feet were in shackles, in stocks. In Acts 16, it says, around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns. They were singing in the Spirit. When words aren't enough, you start singing in the Spirit. And things will happen. But they were singing in the Spirit to God. And the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake. And the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. Just fell off. Doors fell off their hinges. And nobody ran. They just all sat there. On Paul and Silas, they were kicked back. They were relaxed. They were still praising. This is all happening. They weren't moved because they were probably dancing while it was in there. He got up, chains were off, let's keep dancing. And the building shaking. He is never too late. 11:59 p.m. Right on time. Hallelujah. What took place following this? You know what took place? A harvest of souls. A harvest of souls. That is what is taking place in our nation right now. A great harvesting of souls. Thousands upon thousands. And in California, it is happening. Thousands upon thousands. All through this nation. And those tents that they've had out there, they packed this last one up, and God told them, go to New York. They're heading to New York now. God is on the move, hallelujah. I'm just telling you. This is the great awakening. We are living in the great awakening, folks. We are part of it. We're not sitting on the sidelines either. We're getting involved. And how can we ever fail when He is with us? Isaiah 41, verse 10. I like this. Do not fear anything. Do not fear anything, for I am with you. I am with you. He's with us. Do not be afraid. For I am your God. I will strengthen you. Be assured, I will help you. I will certainly take hold of you with my righteous right hand. A hand of justice, a hand of power, a hand of victory, a hand of salvation. That's His right hand. Righteousness. I like that. He said, I will certainly take hold of you. I will take all of you with my righteous right hand. And He will not let go. Once he grabs a hold, he's not going to let go. That's what the song said. He's not going to let go of you. Because God himself has said, I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down. Relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. My grandfather, his hands, he used to grab you like right here, and he would, you couldn't get out of there. And that just, I mean, it was, I don't know, when he gripped that grip, I was like, ooh. And you, man, I can just imagine God's grip. Whoo. He's not going to relax that hold on you. Now in 2 Peter 3, verse 9, it says, the Lord does not delay as though he were unable to act, and is not slow about his promise. So some count slowness. No, that's not the way he works. But he is extraordinarily patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And he's patient, isn't he, brother? Gives us the opportunity of patience. Jesus, his message when he came to the earth, you can find it in Matthew 4, verse 17. His message was, repent, change your hearts and lives, because God's kingdom has come. God's kingdom has come. For 3 years, Jesus worked establishing his kingdom here on earth. Matthew 9:35. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And gospel is a word that means good news. But it's more than that. It is a royal announcement, and its use in the New Testament points to radical announcement. Yes, the radical announcement of God's kingdom coming to earth through Jesus. Jesus was preaching the gospel of the kingdom, that it, in fact, was here now. It was not something for the future. It was now. His kingdom is still here. We're in his kingdom. Born again, we are in his kingdom. He demonstrated that the kingdom of heaven was among them by healing the sick and the diseased. The first principles and ordinances of the gospel are, first, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Second, repentance. Third, baptism by immersion for the remission of sins. Sprinkling, don't get it. Pouring water on the head, don't get it. We're going to be coming up, because I'm praying that we're going to be doing a water baptism. And I need to let you all know, born of the water. You think about that. So when you go under, you come up. You have a new life. The old one comes up new. You're born through that and through the blood of Jesus. Okay? How is a baby come in? The baby's in water, in the womb. Right? Through blood and that water. And we have the birth. Comes through the blood, through the water. You know that this earth was birthed the same way? The earth was covered in water. lot of similarities. A lot of similarities. Very interesting. Now, later, after much preaching. Oh, I'm sorry, four. I didn't get to number four. There is number four. Can't miss this one. It's called the laying on of hands for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's a very important one. And if you don't have the full Spirit in you, come out. We'll lay hands on you. You have a little bit of it in you. But see, the laying on of hands brings the fullness of it. Hey, Peter did a prayer, and what? By the thousands. The Holy Ghost fell on. Because they wanted it. Fill me with your Spirit. Fill me. And they did. Man. Now later, after much training, though, Jesus sent out his 12 to preach. He empowered them when they went out, and he empowered them to cast out devils and to heal the sick. And what were they to preach? Well, in Matthew 10, verse 7. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The good news. It is near you. Right at your fingertips. You can touch it. And I want you to demonstrate this. Verse 8. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. As he declared his kingdom, his followers increased. And he began building his church, the ecclesia, his ruling, reigning, and governing body of his kingdom here on earth. That's us. Luke 17, verse 20 and 21. Now, having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he probably was thinking, haven't you people been listening? You know, haven't you been listening? And he replied, the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed or with a visible display. Nor will people say, look, here it is, or there it is, for the kingdom of God is among you because of my presence. See, they were expecting him to be on this big horse and a whole bunch of other horses with him, coming in, marching, and here come the chariots and the soldiers. That's not how the kingdom's going to come in. No, the king rode to town on a donkey. He was the king. And he is the king. He's never been dethroned, and he will never be dethroned. But Matthew 4, verse 23 of the Moffat's translation, he talks about preaching the gospel of the reign. He went about also preaching the gospel of the reign, the kingdom, his kingdom from which he reigns. Jesus preached the gospel of reign, which is ruling and governing. He is king of heaven, and he is king of earth right now. He is the king of kings and the lord of lords. And he is reigning over all of it right now. And we are king's kids. And if king's kids, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Who are we reigning with? The king himself. Paul, in Ephesians chapter 1, he says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. All. Take something from us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Christ Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God the Father, a place of honor, power, and authority from which he rules and he reigns. And we get our power and authority to rule and to reign through our personal relationship with him, through something called adoption. Back then, adoption meant when you were adopted in, you became family. You were equal to the heir. We are under the lordship of the King of Kings, King Jesus. Forgiven, reimagined, and born again into the family. We truly are in the King's lineage. We are heirs of God, and we are joint heirs with Christ. We are part of the kingdom of good God Almighty and are expected to reign with him right now. You don't have to wait for it to come. We're supposed to be reigning and ruling now. The ecclesia has power and authority to reign. We got it from King Jesus. We, the church, have been given a responsibility to lay God's word into our culture's foundations. And to do that, we must learn, practice, and activate authority language, which is kingly language. The king's seed that was sown into us, the king's DNA that has been transmitted into our spirit at the new birth, needs to manifest on the inside of us. We need to become who and what we really are. We are part of the kingdom of Almighty God, and we are expected to be reigning with him right now. As a part of his family, we need to engage in releasing words of power, might, and dominion. If we are going to see things change, we must restore kingly speech and authority language to the body of Christ, the church. You can pick up Rosetta Stone and it can teach you all the different languages. Well, guess what? We can pick up the rock and be taught the kingly language. It's time to decree our kingdom authority to rise up to rule in this life as we were intended to. It's time to fill and occupy the earth, subduing it and exercising dominion. We should be advancing into positions of authority as the Holy Spirit leads. Some of you in the body of Christ are called to positions of governmental authority in this natural realm. And if that's you, embrace it and run towards it. You can't fail when God tells you to do something. He will be with you step for step the whole way through. Now in Matthew 16:19, Jesus said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on the earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now using the original Greek word meanings, it says this. Whatever you at any time encounter of hell's counsel or a third or authority that I am determined my church will prevail against, you will then face the decision whether you will or will not bind it. What transpires is conditional to your response. If you do purposely and consciously involve yourself in binding the issues on earth, you will find at the future moment when you do that, it has been yesed in heaven. I hope you get that. If we say yes, it's been yesed in heaven. If we say no, it's been no'd in heaven. So he's given us a yes to that no. That's right. That's what I said. Make a little more sense now? In other words, the authority he has delegated to us is backed up by heaven. Keys represent authority in the scripture. If you have the keys to something, you have authority over it. You can open it or you can close it. We have been given authority in Christ's name to open and close doors. We have been given authority to forbid and permit. This authority has been handed to the ecclesia, the church. Now, I had to go to the Message Bible for this one. This is Matthew 16. I'm going to go through 18 and 19 now. This is the rock on which I will put together my church, a church so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out. It'll push hell right out of the way. And that's not all. You will have complete and free access to God's kingdom. Keys to open any and every door. No more barriers between heaven and earth, earth and heaven. A yes on earth is yes in heaven. A no on earth is a no in heaven. The church that does this is a glorious church. It's time we answer the commissioning of King Jesus and confidently release authority language on the earth. What did Brother Job say? He said, "You will also declare a thing, and it will be established for you." We are not here to be ruled by unrighteousness. That makes no sense. We're here for a reason. So why would God put us here to be ruled by unrighteousness? We have been legally established as governors, ruling ones, given authority by God. I know I'm not using my dipper, but I need it right up here. We are heirs now. Hear what I said? We are heirs now. And we are to declare the uncompromised word of King Jesus on the earth. Take a deep breath. We are not to make it politically correct. We are to say what he says. He warns us, don't add to and don't take away from. Gave y'all a warning. There's a lot of things that we do nowadays that we aren't supposed to be doing. And we're not going to be politically correct. We're going to preach the word. That's what's an uncompromised word. We're not going to compromise it. It's going forth. It's going forth with power and demonstration. And that's what we're supposed to be doing as the ecclesia. Putting forth that word. Uncompromised. There are people all over this nation attending PTA meetings, school board meetings, council meetings, at that level, and their voice and making their voices made known. And I wished I would have brought them phone. I have two phone numbers. and you can probably get them too, but the phone numbers for the Senate, main switchboard, and for the House of Representatives, the main switchboard. You'll need to be calling people down there and letting them know this is wrong. I don't agree with what you're doing. I don't agree with how you're spending my money. They're spending more money than they're taking in, so they're going to come and they're going to tax us. Oh, but they said they wouldn't tax us. Oh, that was a little white lie. Wake up. All I can do is turn the machine on a print. It's a note. It's a piece of paper. And it's losing its value. But see, that's not what we base ourselves off of. No. We know that our God will supply all of our needs. Jesus, hallelujah. Speaking with authority. The best example that we have of that, speaking authority language, is of course Jesus himself. In John 7, verse 45, says concerning Jesus, never a man spake like this man. Matthew 7:28. People were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority. In other words, he spoke differently. His language was powerful, and his words were weighty. His sentences were not filled with unbelief. He didn't contradict himself, saying one thing one minute and then something else the next. His speech was not confusing. His words were positive, sure, decisive, confident, and they were bold. Bold as a lion, because he is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Bold as a lion. He spoke kingly language, you see. Kingly language. Has a lot of authority to it. That's why it's authority language that we must use. He didn't say to that leper that who came to him that day, right, about being made clean. Jesus didn't say to him, you know, I'm not really feeling it today, sir. You know, but I guess I'll give it a try. No, he didn't say that at all. He spoke with authority. Be clean. Two words. Be clean. And it says, immediately he was cleansed. Immediately. He didn't tell him anything else to do, nothing else. Be clean. That's all the leper had to hear. Be clean. Okay, I'm clean. Probably got up and went, I'm clean. What did Mary tell him? Whatever he says, do it. He says, be clean. Then say, I'm clean. And you clean. You may not see sometimes right away as he did. But he said, be clean. So you're clean. Be healed. You healed. Well, I don't feel it. Quit saying you don't feel like it. Say, I received that. I'm healed. He tries to put us in so much doubt and unbelief, and then we end up falling into condemnation. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Absolutely no one spoke with more authority than Jesus. He demonstrated to his joint heirs the importance of using authority language. They were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. It's what Luke 4:32 says. The word for power here is, are you ready, my brother? exousia. Exousia. The Greek word for authority. It means, just what it said, authority. Force. Forceful. Competence. Strength. And influence. Now, a Greek scholar, bear with me, Spiros Zodhiates. Z-O-D-H-I-A-T-E-S. Zodhiates. Defines exousia as to speak as one in control. Or to speak as one who has the right to do something. He's given it to us. He's given us the right to do something. We have the power. We have the power of the blood. We have the power of the words. There's power in the tongue. There's life and death in the tongue. We are king's kids, and we are to speak as kings with authority language. Kings talk differently. Their speech resonates with authority. They carry themselves with authority, knowing that a yes in heaven is, or yes in on earth is a yes in heaven. And a no on earth is a no in heaven. Knowing that heaven and the Holy Spirit and the angel armies are backing it up for us. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. He is saying, my words are different. They are powerful and energized with authority to produce. My words cause dynamic effects. Speak the word. Use your authority language and speak the word. It will cause dynamic effects. He says, I use my words to rule and to reign in this life on the earth. You're joint heirs with me. You do the same thing. Amen? The words that Jesus speaks are spirit and life. We need to be speaking them. See, that's the way my week started. Beginning of the week. I kept looking at everything around me. And I was very choosy in what I listened to. And I was sitting and I was really getting frustrated. Made me take a couple steps back. And then I regrouped. And I prayed in the Holy Ghost. And I found comfort when I was praying in the Holy Ghost. But then I happened to be talking to someone, and I shared with him, my brother from another mother. And I told him why, but then I read him my beginning scriptures here, what I was talking about. And he said, wow, and we got to talking. Well, he sends out this little thing every day to read. And he was supposed to send it out, but if he'd have sent it out ahead of time, I would have saw that before I did this. And he said, sent back, he said, I think you're going to like this one. Because it spoke to me. Yeah, and it spoke to me. But he sent it out a day late. And I says, you know what? I'm going to share that because y'all just think that, you know, God puts everybody around us there and they're going to speak something sometime to you. Stop and listen. I could have said, you know, what are you sending that to me for? Well, guess what? I needed it. But after that really made me feel that I said, okay, God, we on the right direction. And he said something, I told you. Be listening to me. Do what I tell you to do. Write what I tell you to write. Research it here. Research it there. And we'll get to the truth. Because my people need the truth. Because they've been lied to for so long out there. They don't even know what truth is. They believe in the lies. But see, it's up to us, the ecclesia, to change the cultural foundations of this land. And we can, because we've been empowered by the King, King Jesus himself. Know who you are and what you are in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's it, because I don't want to read this one. This one's a downer. I can't, because God gave me that, and I don't know. I want to leave you up on a high.